And if you have a Bible, turn to Proverbs 31, and we'll finish, as far as I know, Daniel next Sunday. And Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31, and we will have the verses up on the screen if you don't have a Bible. But it is Mother's Day, and a long time since I preached from this passage, thought it would be appropriate. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Now hear the word of the Lord. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold to the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out to her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this reminder today. I pray it will be an encouragement to all the ladies and who are here, those who are moms, those who have been moms, those who are moms, those who will be moms. And I just pray today would be an encouragement, a reminder to those of us who aren't moms to appreciate our mothers, to appreciate our wives. And so speak now as we hear today. In Christ's name, amen. The woman who fears the Lord. You know, relationships are two things, are they not? They're a blessing, and sometimes they're a curse. They're a blessing, and sometimes they are heartbreaking. There are two ladies at the funeral home that told me a story. They worked there. That there was a funeral one morning and that most of the people had left, in fact, all the people had left, and they were getting ready to do what they do to close it all up. Well, a man walked into the funeral home, walked into the chapel, went up to this casket, which was his father laying there, and began for 10 minutes to curse his father. He was in there right over the casket yelling and screaming at the top of his lungs, calling this guy every name you could imagine. Well, the ladies were so scared, they went into a closet and hid themselves. There weren't any men there. And they said this went on for about 10 minutes. I think they were getting ready to call the police. He finally was done, and he left. It makes you wonder what went on in that relationship between those two people. Relationships can be one of the most wonderful blessings in all of the planet. Of course, a relationship with the Lord. But here is a relationship that went horribly wrong. And while something can be so wonderful, it can be so difficult. God designed us to have relationships. He designed us to have a relationship with Him, and it was broken in the garden. Every day the Lord came in the cool of the day, and he talked with Adam and with Eve. But when sin came, it was broken. Then they went and hid. And the Lord, where are you? We hid ourselves because we knew we were naked. Relationships also have been broken with others. In the garden, there was no selfishness. There was no sinful anger. There was nothing wrong. Then all of a sudden, when sin came, all of what we deal with today showed up. So what we need is to have that restored. That needs to be restored. It'll never be perfect, but to a degree it can be restored and is restored through God's word. The results of brokenness have been absolutely tragic. Some men treat their wives like slaves. You've heard the phrase barefoot and pregnant, I'm sure. In fact, I read a song this week by Loretta Lynn. Remember her? And I think the title is called The Ring? No, The Pill. Anybody hear that? It's called The Pill. And I don't know if she wrote it, but she sang it. The song was written probably back in the 60s or early 70s, where now women have the pill and no longer do they have to be barefoot and pregnant. No longer do they have to have kids. I'm thinking, Loretta, no. Now, that is a wrong philosophy, is it not? Yes, it is. But I was kind of shocked that some of the words in the philosophy are sort of the heart attitude. But some men have that attitude. The first church God let me pastor, there was a man there whose attitude was, and I think this was his third or fourth wife, I think he's had up to seven by now, that his wife was barefoot and pregnant. I am the king of my castle. You do what I say, when I say, how I say. Don't you ever do anything. He had a gun in his house. He beat her several times, and he did not like me because I told him that was wrong. I never would have dreamed in Bible college that somebody would turn against me because I told them, you're not supposed to beat your wife. I've just been shocked down through the years. But he did, because that was his philosophy. But do you know some women have turned on men? I have known a few women over the years in churches that I've been in that do not like men. They are bitter against men. I had a lady tell me once, you are one of three men that I like. Not in a romantic way, just three men. Well, thank you for putting me on the list. She was bitter against men. Here are some thoughts that are prevalent in our world today. Quote, since marriage constitutes slavery for women. Is that what the Bible says? But that's what this person. Since marriage constitutes slavery for women, it is clear that women's movement must concentrate on attacking this institution. Freedom for women cannot be won without the abolition of marriage. That was a leader of the feminist organization Now, N-O-W. Here's another quote. The proportion of men must be reduced to and maintained at approximately 10% of the human race. All right? And this is, again, another leader of one of these organizations. So in this lady's mind, and probably several others, we've got to start knocking off the men, and we're just going to have 10% left. Wow. Another lady said, if life is to survive on this planet, there must be a decontamination of the earth. I think this will be accompanied by an evolutionary process that will result in a drastic reduction of the population of males. Guys, we are not appreciated, okay? The women want us out of here. Now, these are extreme statements, correct? They're extreme, but they reflect an attitude in our society that I think is growing, and I think to certain degrees, even in God's church, this attitude is beginning to prevail. Yes, sometimes because men are jerks, and men have taken what God has said and distorted it totally. But it's interesting to see some of the thought in our world today. And it's just obvious to see these things and realize relationships have been broken. In fact, if you study even in the Hebrew and in Genesis, one of the curses in the garden is that women were put under men and women would fight that position. And men would distort that position. So we are in an absolute mess. So here we have the book of Proverbs, which are statements of the wise. And at the end of Proverbs, it's almost like this is an unusual place to put this about the wife and about being a mother and a woman, but it's a summary of the whole book. These last 21 verses are really a summary of all of the wise sayings previously in this book about wisdom. And as you see in verses 10 to 31, you see a restoration of what God can do if wisdom is applied, especially to the wife, the life of a woman. It'll always be broken, will it not? Relationships will always be broken. Relationships will always struggle in the church, in homes, at your job place, in your neighborhood. That's just what relationships are. But God can restore those in a wonderful way. I remember occasionally when I worked with airplanes to see somebody buy this old junky plane. It was rusty. The wheels were flat. They brought it in on a flatbed. The wings were taken off. And then to see the guy work and work and work in the hangar till one day they brought this thing out that was absolutely gorgeous. Just gorgeous. Paint is beautiful, leather seats, and it's flying around. Somebody worked hard and restored it. And I think that's what's going on here. As you apply wisdom, they can be restored by God's grace. So I just took this chapter in three areas. The first one is being restored as a wife. All right? Being restored as a wife. Verses 10 to 12. Look at verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. Excellent here means strength and power and ability. Someone translated it, fully capable woman. You ever go to the Hallmark section and it says, you are a fully capable woman and I love you. That's what the wisdom writer wrote. A fully capable, strong, efficient woman with great abilities, an excellent wife. Who can find? And notice how rare it is. She is far more precious, rare, than jewels. Who can find such a precious thing? Her worth is far above anything than this world could ever provide. A precious, wonderful woman. Her life is devoted to God. Her life is devoted to her husband, and that is no longer popular, is it? My life isn't devoted to you. It's my career. It's this and this and this. And notice what it says here at verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. He trusts her. She does him good, verse 12. She does not do him harm all the days of her life. Her life, all the days of her life, are devoted to her man. We might put it like this, stand by your man. Now, I don't know what the rest of the words of that song are, so if it's bad, forgive me. But this is the virtuous woman, restored as a wife, and her life is devoted to her man, her husband. She does him good, and her husband trusts in her in the home and every single place. And I want to remind you, ladies today who are wives, notice how the Proverbs writer began not with mom, but with wife. You are, first of all, a wife, not a mom. One of the best things you can do for your children, wives, is what? Love your husband. Stand by your man. I better quit using that because that song may go somewhere I don't want it to go. I'm not sure. It is one of the greatest things for your little ones to see is that my mom loves my dad. You can be restored as a wife. And notice how rare and how precious this is. Ladies, don't let this world suck you into its mold. that this is more important than your husband, and this is more important than your husband, and this is more your kids. We live in a day and age where kids run the home. Kids decide where their parents go to church. Kids decide everything. I see it. I watch it. I observe it. That's the day and age where we pretty much live in. If my child doesn't want to go to church, then you don't have to go. If my child doesn't want to go to youth group, you don't have to go. I'll tell you what. I know this. When the doors of the church were open when I was a kid, Mom and Dad, where was I? Church. I was in church. And if there was a youth group, and I always wanted to go to youth group. Because back in our day, we didn't have cell phones and stuff where I could stay home and go, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah, you know, there was nothing to do except go to youth group. Today, man, I loved it. But, you know, the kids run the home. Not every home. So wives, just remember that. Be careful. Don't let the world suck you into its mold. God can restore you and continue to restore you as a wife. Notice there's a lot of verses now, restored in the household. And there's a lot of verses here. We're not going to go over every single one of them. Just by way of reminder, verses 13 to 19 and then 21 to 27. This woman fears the Lord. I'll mention some of these in just a second. She fights off the selfish characteristics that Adam gave her in the garden, and Adam gave the men as well. One scholar said that this lady is family-oriented, not career-oriented. No matter what she does, she is family-oriented. I'm doing this for the family. I love my family. This is what she is oriented to. You know, I thought of this. What if you looked in the paper under Help Wanted for a job? I'm going to read you a Help Wanted ad that I wrote and see if you would apply for this job. Help Wanted: must be strong, never requiring sleep. Must love to work with no pay. Overtime is required on a daily basis. Must be willing to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Must possess an endless amount of patience and endurance. Must be able to cook, do laundry, vacuum, mop, change diapers, decorate the home, look for coupons. Must be proficient in health. I just lost my place. No. Must be proficient in math, science, history, computers, English, and be able to do miracles with poster board and build a structure out of matches or popsicle sticks. Must be selfless and full of compassion, mercy, and grace. Must never raise your voice in anger. Must be proficient in minor medical emergencies and know when to call the doctor or when to wait. Must be a counselor to deal and know when to call the doctor or when... What is going on with my eyes today? Must be a counselor to deal with all the pains and emotional hurts of life. Must be willing to face any unexpected demands that arise 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Are you applying for that job? Guess what? That's your job. Is it not? Is it not? And how many of you ladies were prepared? It's almost like it's on-the-job training, right? It's like, how can I prepare? And I'll be honest with you, as a father and a husband, I don't know how you women learn all the stuff you do. You know where to put the thermometer. I mean, you know everything. It's like, how you know, no, don't give them this food if they're under a year. And it amazes me how you ladies know, how old's your baby? You know the month, the days, the minutes. I'm not sure how old they really are. But you, 18 months, 7 days, 4 hours. You know all these medical things. I don't have a clue. They're blue. We should take them to the hospital. That's what I might say. But it is a job that it's just... wow. It's on-the-job training, is it not? And it's just constant. And there are hurts and pains and burdens that you carry that are indescribable. So we see this job that God gave you as a lady who is oriented in your household. And there are so many things here. It's just absolutely amazing. Look at verse 15. She rises while it is yet night, provides food for her household, and portions for her maidens. Now, you might read the last of verse 15 and go, well, my goodness, this woman that this writer describes has maids. I wish I had a maid, you know? I thought this was pretty clever. One author said, quote, you have maids. This lady would have loved to have had refrigerators, stoves, freezers, microwaves, dishwashers, etc., right? Yeah. I mean, isn't it awesome you go to the, or the, what do you call that thing, the sink, and you get water out of it or ice from the, this lady didn't have any of that. So you have maids. And it's interesting when you read these verses that we read, this lady is not a mindless dummy. This lady's pretty sharp, isn't she? She is smart and she is wise and she makes great decisions and she is anything but barefoot and pregnant. She is not a wallflower. I asked myself, what does that mean, wallflower? And I looked it up and I'm going to tell you. Here's what the dictionary says. Someone who is forced to the sidelines in any activity. It was used of a girl who went to a dance, but nobody wanted to dance with her, so where'd she stand? By the wall. She's so ugly. No, I don't know if she's ugly. Sorry. She's a flower. Ugly flower? Wallflower. She's a flower by the wall. She doesn't move. Plants don't move, all right? And so this lady is anything but just standing out of the activities that this writer of Proverbs described. She has her hand in everything and does things that supports her husband and things her husband cannot do. So let's just highlight some of these verses here. Let's just highlight some of them. Let's just go through. Look at verse 15. It's still at night. She provides food for her household. Do any of you ladies get out the crock pot at night? You got it easy. I personally don't like smelling food all night long when it's cooking in the crock pot. How do you sleep with that on? But this lady gets up, prepares food not only for her maids, but for her household. Look at verse 16. She apparently has in her possession a large sum of money. Her husband trusts her. She goes out. She finds a field. It's an agricultural community that can plant food. She buys the field. And she works it. She's out there in the garden. She plants a vineyard. She's tilling it and she's planting it. She knows how to do everything in the garden. She has strength, verse 17. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Everything she purchases is profitable for her family. She stays up late at night. Her lamp does not go out. She works hard in the fields, in the garden, verse 19. Look at verse 20. Actually, is that the one I wanted to wait on? Let's see. Let me go back here. Yeah, I want to hold off on that one. Look at verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household. Why? Because she's clothed them. She has prepared for them in cold weather and clothed them. She knows how to sew, verse 22. She's so good for her husband that her husband, verse 23, is known in the gates. That's where they did business when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments, 24, and sells them, again, bringing money in for the household. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. She's not afraid of the future because she's a part of preparing for the future for her family. She's so prepared. Notice verse 26. She's not just barefoot and pregnant, but she knows what to say. She has wisdom in her mouth and in her heart. She's a teacher, verse 26. And she teaches with kindness. So he teaches people. She teaches her kids. She might even teach her husband at times. Verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. She looks at that help wanted ad and she takes open heart to it and says, I am willing to do that. Very busy, restored in her household. I think it's amazing. You go back to verse 20. She also cares for the poor. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out to the hands of the needy. I remember hearing a story of Ross Perot. Whatever you think of him is fine. But I guess his mother and family lived back in the Depression. And his mother, they put something on the sidewalk by her house. So when people who didn't have food could walk by, they knew this house had food. And so her mother made sure that that was there. So here are all these people that came by. And maybe it was just soup or something, but she made sure that there was food for as many people that walked by. And here, let them know that they can come into my house. She cared about the poor. She cared about people that had less than them. So this lady not only cares for her household, but she cares for those who are even outside of her household. And she is restored. And the last one in verses 28 to 31, she is restored in praise. You see, in the Garden of Eden, there was no praise. The praise was gone. There was no praise for her. There was no praise for him. We just had tragedy. We just had selfishness now and the heartaches that you and I experienced because of what went on in the Garden of Eden. Yet through God's grace, this even can be restored. So we find out that this lady is an excellent woman, and God describes a payment that she is to get. Now, I don't know, probably none of you ladies get a direct deposit into your bank account for what you do in the home, right? You know, it just doesn't happen that way. But there is a great, great payment. Look at verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Verse 30. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. God says, here is the reward that I've given you. And this is worth much more than a paycheck. That your children rise up and bless you. Now, I know there are some cases where maybe you do everything you can and your children may say, you know what? You know, we know a family that they just have a tough family, don't live in even in this state. But some of their kids have just, treat them like dirt. That happens, right? It happens. But the majority is, God says, this is your praise. Children praise you. Your husband praises you. Thanks God for you. You are seen as a gift from God. And living without her in your life is unimaginable. We put to laid to rest a lady yesterday who escaped as a kid Stalin's armies and I believe Hitler's armies, and went into hiding and was able to be an immigrant to the United States. And she even came and learned how to do nursing, and she was an assistant in the surgical ward for the heart doctor. It's an amazing story. It's an amazing story. And in fact, I went and picked her up in the home. But yet to see all of her family members just weeping at her funeral, what was that? That was a testimony of right here. I bless you. I praise you. You meant something to me. And everybody said she was an incredible woman. And you just read her story. It was like, wow, what an incredible woman escaping, you know, the threats that don't even enter our life. She's blessed. She's praised. How will we make it without her? Restored from the garden where there was no praise. Today, they're praised. In fact, look at verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. What is the number one thing that is lifted up in our culture today? Beauty. Charm. You know, I always thought it's amazing, and I probably mentioned this before, but you see some of these commercials on TV of like, you know, come and get your brakes fixed here. Or if you have a flood in your house, call ServPro. And what do they show all these workers coming to your house? I mean, they're like football players and weightlifters. And man, their uniform is as clean as can be and tucked in perfectly. I'll never forget, it used to flood over at the other church. So we'd be down there at 10, 11 o'clock at night squeegeeing. They'd call ServPro and these guys would come. Their shirts are untucked and they're, you know, filthy and they're just crude men, you know. And I said, where's the commercial? You know. Wouldn't it be awesome? I mean, you know, they show a commercial on TV about ladies' clothes or something, and you know, they find the wallflower and put on there. Go find the ugliest girl in town and put her on the TV. Why don't they do that? Yeah, nobody would buy stuff. Because our society, we are just, that's what our focus is. That's what our focus is. But look what God said. Charm's deceitful. Beauty's vain. That word means empty. So in other words, the Proverbs, which the whole Proverbs is talking about, is the most important thing is on the inside. Now, ladies, you know, and us men, let's do the best we got with what God gave us, right? I think that's important, but that's not what's most important. Peter worded it this way, ladies. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Very precious. And I see our culture today not creating ladies who are quiet and gentle, but loud and in charge. Sports, I think, has helped to create that. Not that sports is wrong. But what does God say? Just like the Proverbs, this is what's important. So ladies, be restored in praise, a gentle, meek, quiet spirit. Not a wallflower, not somebody that walks around and says, your husband says, hey, give me your opinion about this. No, I just can't because I'm a wallflower. No, you can be a gentle, quiet spirit and be a powerful person, right? Yes. That's what the scriptures say. And when you hear our culture say, the Bible just says women are nothing and the Bible hates women and Paul hates women, that is not true. That is not true at all. That's a distortion by the devil himself. And verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands. That's why we make cookies. And let her works praise her in the gates. Give her of the fruit of her hands. Now, I don't know, maybe you can provide your wife a wonderful Mother's Day gift, then do it. If all you can provide her is a kiss on the cheek, then give her a kiss on the cheek. If you can buy her a new Lexus, give me your old car and give her that Lexus, all right? But whatever God provides you to give to your wife, then give it to her. I just give my wife my wonderful presents every day, right? No. She lets me know it if I'm not acting right, right? But give her the fruit of her hands. So God would say, what are you doing having Mother's Day one day a year? Right? Be thankful and bless her when? All the time. You know, thank God for her. Well, let's land the plane here. How do we get restored? Only by the gospel, right? That's it. Because we were in that garden, right? We all fail as husbands, wives, moms, dads, every one of us. But we can be restored by the gospel. So we go to the cross and say, God, how I failed. Thank you that you love me, you died for me, you forgive me. It's the gospel that restores us. It's awesome to know where we have failed, we can receive forgiveness. We can start again. Didn't Adam and Eve start again? Boy, sure, they sure did. Where we have had victories, we thank God and reject pride. Not me. It's God. So I hope today you'll be encouraged, ladies. You have an impossible job, right? You have an impossible job. It's almost like a pastor. You share and teach, but you can't change, right? You can't change your kid's heart. You just can't. I worked a funeral yesterday, and I saw the two children of the mother who unexpectedly died, and I didn't see a tear in their eye. I didn't see, they just kind of played all day in the funeral home, and it was like, how odd that. We can't change our kids, right? It's a tough job. It's a tough job. But be encouraged and challenged to not quit. Be a woman that fears God and loves God, a wife that fears God and loves God. And no matter what season of life God puts you in with your kids or your husband or whatever it is, just know that God's grace is sufficient for the task. It is, isn't it? It's sufficient. It's sufficient for the task. And if you're here today and you have benefited from a godly woman, a godly mother, a godly wife, don't forget that verse. Let her works be praised. Let her works be praised. Father, thank you for your loving grace. You have given ladies a monumental task. And we know that task doesn't end when they leave the home. We know moms don't stop caring and don't stop staying up at night praying and don't stop being burdened and don't live through the heartaches of their children's life. That it's a lifelong job. So help our ladies and all ladies to seek your grace to live a restored life as a wife for their household, and that they may receive the greatest payment ever, and that's to please you and to have people just say how thankful they are and that they are blessed. Help those of us who benefit from the person and the persons you put in our lives to not forget to be thankful and to praise you. And so thank you, Lord, just for this loving reminder today. Give strength to our ladies, and for our young ones that are going to be growing up and getting married, help them to be this kind of a woman by your grace. And to realize it's worth it. Our world pretty much says a wife devoted to your husband and family is kind of wasted. And have your career first, and then maybe you want to have a kid. But help us to believe your word. So we thank you for this wonderful reminder today in Christ's name.